Hi, this is a new installment of Flamenco Today,
a series of podcasts created by Margaret Hova
and José Luis Greco, which are associated with the Spanish Dance and Flamenco Choreography Competition and are available on our website, certamenflamenco.com.
And on my YouTube channel, as well as other podcast platforms.
Our idea is to interview renowned and upcoming performers and choreographers,
as well as musicians and composers of the Spanish dance world.
In this installment, we have talked to three of the international partners for the certamen, the Coreografía de Danza Española y Flamenco, which we organize here in Madrid. They are Rosario Anser, based in Vancouver, Canada, Edwin Aparicio, based in Washington, D.C., and whose festival season takes place at the Gala Theater in Washington, and Carlota Santana, with her company Flamenco Vivo, based in New York, where they have an annual season there, either at the Joyce Theater or the Brooklyn Academy of Music, and they also tour extensively throughout the United States.
I discovered Lola Flores in the movie Pena Penita Pena. And of course, that was my first contact with flamenco and truly impacted me so much. So much that I started imitating her, learning her songs, and performing for my friends and family, which encouraged me a lot. The family moved to the city of Monterrey. Once I was there, the first thing I did was to find myself a flamenco teacher. It was when I watched a performance with Manuela Varga and the Juncos, and I listened to the wonderful music and song of El Cantador El Moro, that flamenco roved my soul. And I knew I had to go to Spain to get my soul back.
I started dancing when I was 16, ballet. I loved ballet, and I thought that it was such a wonderful career to have. And so it happened that I transferred myself from my regular school, high school, to an art school in D.C. I faked my mother's signature and actually transferred myself out. I got very good at it, and then I went to auditions, started dancing, and then one of my teachers said, you do not meet the height requirement that, unfortunately, ballet dancers need. And I was so disappointed. I learned fast. And so this was about when I was 18 or 19. And he said, well, I have a friend that's a flamenco teacher, and she's looking for male dancers. Her name is Wasiva Cohen. In D.C. And she was teaching, offering free classes. I was like, I don't know that I can afford it because this was an adult program. This was not an in-school type thing.
How did I discover flamenco? I was taking some dance classes, modern dance classes, in New York City, and there was an introduction to flamenco by Maria Alba. And I took it, and I thought, this is wonderful, because it was a way for me to express myself. That was the most important thing about flamenco for me. Other people love the cante, the rhythms. To me, it was an ability to get my feelings out.
So I landed in the Estudios Amor de Dios, which at that time, at the end of the 70s, was the Mecca of flamenco. So my first teachers were María Magdalena and Ciro. soon after, I think a year after, I was contacted by the company Antonio del Castillo, and we turned Italy and Portugal, and also we finished a season in Salo. After that, I danced in the tablao Arco de Cuchilleros, and around that time, I met my husband, Victor Colsti, a guitarist from Vancouver, who was in Spain doing exactly as I was doing. So we fell in love and we got married. Together, we completed two seasons in Mallorca, and we did a tour in Southeast Asia. After tired of being on the road, we decided to make our home in Vancouver.
I went the first time and I did not like it. My first thought is I don't want to be stomping around on the stage. Meanwhile, somebody's screaming in the back. Like, that's not what I want. And then as I just went because there was something about it that attracted me. And I think that it was the intricacy of it all. I started with Seviana, so... You know, so you know, it's not that difficult, but still there's some footwork in there. Coming from another dance form, your feet don't work the same. You're always uplifted and not, you know, grounded. And so that's something that kind of intrigued me and also, in a way, took over me. And I just went as a challenge, and I started adoring it and loving it. And then I started dancing more and more with other people and other companies.
The first time I walked into Amor de Dios was in February 1980. It was mysterious, secretive. There were noises and sounds coming out of all the doors, and it seems to be for somebody who was very special. Anybody couldn't just go there. You had to be special. I studied with Ciro, Maria Magdalena, and Azorín. I can't believe that I'd let myself even try to take classes with Azorín. After classes, I rented studios, as did everyone else, and worked out on my own. I had to be very, very disciplined. And I think I was not disciplined enough.
Upon our arrival in Vancouver, we co-founded Centro Flamenco, a school of dance and guitar and cante, and the Vancouver International Flamenco Festival and Flamenco Rosario. Through our company, who has a lot of programs, we have created an audience to Vancouver, a well-known and knowledgeable audience for flamenco in Vancouver. We have nurtured many young artists and supported them. But more importantly for us, we created amazing work together, Victor and I. The ideas hit me in the head when I'm not expecting it. I never look for ideas. And in retrospective, I can see that there is a relation to all of them, and all of them are us for our personal experience. But the most significant ones for us are Raíces, the entangled roots of flamenco, because here in Vancouver, you can find musicians from all over the world, which help us to have this, make that connection with the roots of flamenco, with Jewish chanter and Middle Eastern musicians, and of course, flamenco cantaores and a catac dancer, and flamenco included. The other work is The Four Powers, Los Cuatro Vientos, which we connected to the immigrants coming from all four directions of the globe and make Canada what it is today, which is a multicultural society. And The Four Powers talks about that creates the circle of life. So the other work, it was Mis Hermanas, more significant work, is a memoir. When I create a portrait of each one of my sisters, it talks about my journey, my growing up in Mexico, and my move to Spain and my move to Canada, and how I became a Mexican flamenco dancer living in Canada. The other work is La Monarca, which also talks about my migration between Mexico and Spain and Canada, and the passing of knowledge, and the compass, how the monarca, this small and fragile creature, can do that trip and exactly know where it has to go. It feels that has a lot of parallel with my own life. The last work that we created together with my husband was Cuadrilo Affective. It was a collaboration with Mariano Cruzeta and Carolina Planté. It was an exploration of domestic life and professional life, how it mixed together, and you cannot separate one or the other one. And also, reverse gender. Mariano was the dancer, and his guitarist was Carolina, a lady, and different generations. All this process was created with my husband. He was the musical arrangement, the musical director. He did all the music connections with all these productions. Oh, I'm forgetting also, we did also Flamenco in the Americas, the Cantes de Vuelta. So the part of music, it was always part of my husband. He will be taking care of that. We also collaborate with many, many different musicians with different art forms. And also in La Monarca, I introduced a computer program that would translate visually the footwork of the dancers.
I then started my semi-professional career dancing with the National Opera. When Plácido Domingo started bringing operettas to Washington, D.C., I auditioned and I performed under Goyo Montero, who is a great choreographer and teacher. And that was my first real experience with the Spanish choreographer teacher, and said to me, whatever you earn from this gig, go to Spain. Do not waste any time. He said to me, you're old. I was 19. Go to Spain. I was like, okay. And that's how I started. I went to Spain. Then gradually and fast, my first teacher in Spain was La Tati, my main, and Tomás de Madrid. And so I also took classes from Azorín before he passed. I took classes from Paco Romero. And I also took classes from María Magdalena. And so those were my formative teachers. And I stuck with them for a long, long, long time. As they were retiring or, you know, so they passed away. Ciro also. This was 1998, 99. Mm-hmm. And then I kept coming to Spain every single year for 3 to 6 months a year to kind of get into the culture and stuff like that. I then started performing in tablaos in Madrid. And then I decided to go back to the States, that I was not going to, you know, be a phenomenon in flamenco in Madrid at the time. And I said, I want to go and just share what I've learned here in the States. And I started going to going back to the States, and I started performing with various companies then in the States as a soloist with Omaira Maya. But first I went to Jose Greco company. I don't remember the year, but it was one of his last shows that he actually organized and danced. And that was very peculiar for me because I've heard of Jose Greco, I've seen his stuff by this point, but I never performed with him or in his company. I was a soloist already. You know, I went in as a soloist. And I forgot the name of the show, but it was Roberto Castellón, myself, Lola Zalamea, and a few other dancers. And he says, come to Pennsylvania, bring what you have, and then, you know, and then we'll take it from there. And I said, okay. And so I show up. He showed me a couple of dances, actually, with castanets and everything. I'm like, he says, you suck at castanets. I'm like, I've never played them. I'm like, yeah, of course. I don't know. So he says, show me your costumes. And then I show him my costume. He goes, oh my God. He goes, no one's going on stage dressed like that. And so he dressed me. And actually, there's a documentary called Entre las Olas, I think. But it's a documentary about people that worked with... Well, it was supposed to be about American flamenco artists. And we all were in there. Maria Temo, people from Philadelphia, myself, New York, Chicago, Libby Carmichael's is in there too. And it all led to, all of a sudden, everybody had the same commonality, which was Jose Greco. And then it turned out maybe halfway through, and the rest of the documentary ended up just by coincidence being about Jose Greco.
I went to Arcos de Cuchilleros because Carmen Mora gave me a letter to give to the head of the cuadro. His name was Pachon. And I showed Pachon the letter, but I didn't realize that he couldn't read. So he took me inside to meet the owners. I was hired by the owners. I was given a work permit, which they got for me. And I worked there maybe a year. I don't remember. And I don't remember what I danced. But I remember one evening trying out a new routine that I had just learned in class. And it was painful. I think it was more painful for the cuadro behind me than for me. I was treated normally like any other artist. I worked in Arcos until one evening in the girls' dressing room, one artist threw a chair at the other. It just missed me. And I decided at that point it was not for me. I left the tablao and went to Sevilla.
So, what are we doing now? We are preparing to possibly in 2024-2025 to promote Mis Hermanas for touring in Eastern Canada, in Mexico, in Cervantino, in Santa Lucia, in Monterrey. And my dream will be to bring it to Spain, Madrid, Sevilla, Jerez, because this story of Mis Hermanas is tied to these three theaters besides Canada. We continue with our program supporting new dancers who would like to become choreographers with through residencies. We bring a lot of artists from Spain to be their mentors to perform with the company or present them in the festival. So that's an ongoing thing. But my artistic project right now is what I call a new work, which is untitled yet. But what I call right now is my love letter to my husband, Victor. It's very personal, so that takes time because it's too close to me. But it is a work that I believe it will round my life, my artistic and my personal life. And right now, I have so much feelings on me that it needs to come out. And always my art, my dance, my choreographic ideas help me deal with these feelings. I cannot separate my creative process with my life, with my journey. They are tied together. So I am very fortunate. I am privileged to have had the life that I had and to be able to support flamenco, the art form that I choose and I love, not only in Vancouver, but in Canada, because we are one of the first festival in Canada and the first company in Canada that has these big collaborations with other artists through Canada, Mexico, and through Spain. We always include these artists in our process, in our performances. I have so much to thank to flamenco. Flamenco gave direction to my life, and it gave me everything. So, viva flamenco.
Actually work a lot with Ricardo Malo, Richard Marlowe, who's a very good guitarist in Washington, D.C. He's, you know, very, his teacher is, forgetting his name right now, Gerardo Nunez. I work with him. I also work with Gonzalo Grau. He is from Venezuela. He's a great musician, twice Grammy nominee for salsa compositions and also orchestral compositions. He's the one that actually composed Salvador for me, the music. So I worked with him very intimately when it came to that project because it was very personal to me. And he did a lot of research with music. And so I mostly work with traditional music. I don't wander so much outside of the traditional form, but he's the one that actually kind of brings me out of that form by doing the research for me. And then I sometimes don't like the things that he does, but then I end up loving it because he does a very good marriage between what's going on musically outside of flamenco, and he brings it in and actually mixes it very well together. Yeah, so I work with him. And those are the only, other than Richard, who's very traditional, he's the only one that I work with that is a musician. Yeah. Traditional forms, I am a very... Because I was actually, I guess, learned in Amor de Dios with all those teachers, the forms, I keep the traditional forms. Mm-hmm. And it's very scary to me to actually move out of it, being a foreigner. It's a very strange feeling to have. Like we were speaking about earlier, that we were saying the older you get, you stop caring about certain things and just enjoy movement because you have certain knowledge and certain experience that you can bring, that you start not caring about the palos or the traditional form, but you start exploring within yourself and getting out there a little bit, you know, outside of that box.
When I went to Sevilla, after I quit Arcos, I stayed at the Hostal El Cachorro. I stayed there because Roberto, or Bobby Lorca, had stayed there before me. The woman was absolutely wonderful to me. I can picture her. She gave me a piece of plywood that I put in the patio so I could do my escobillas. I took classes with Manuela Carrasco. I would take the bus up to Aznafarache, where she lived, and take a class an hour or so in her studio. I remember her five-year-old daughter was always hanging around. After El Cachorro, I moved to Calle Betis. There were two wonderful guys in Calle Betis, número 63. I think they were friends of friends from New York. And they had a third floor that was empty, and I stayed up there. And they were the ones who were listening to the news when Carmen Mora had the accident in Mexico and died. They were the ones who told me about it. When I returned to New York, Bobby Lorca was teaching classes at the Harkness House and working with Rebecca Harkness. And I took classes there with him. And I'm really not sure how the whole thing happened, but somehow the two of us decided to get together. And I applied for a National Endowment for the Arts grant on his choreography. And I mean, I applied, I was the one who wrote the grant, but everything was about Bobby and his choreography. And we got a $3,000 grant to do some performances. And that was the beginning of the company, which was called Spanish Dance Arts. Our first performances were at New York University Theater on June in 1983. We were sold out for two nights. We were totally surprised that that happened. Bobby and I did not take any salary, but we had Melinda Marquez, who was a student and a wonderful dancer, who was part of the company, plus guitarists and singers.
The three artists that we have brought so far, they have been, everyone have brought something totally different to the students and to the company and to the audience. I will say that I cannot pick one, and I won't, but they all three different have very personal and very different approach unique to choreography and to giving. Yeah, so it's been a great asset to our company. They are loving it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love it because when you present very traditional flamenco, it's hard for them to relate to. But as soon you take the peineta and the polka dots and instrumentalization, then they can feel that they can fit in, you know. So it's the beginning of getting hooked for going to the Green Flamenco, you know. They are very accepting and enthusiastic audience. They just love and are thankful of the opportunity to witness this artist who come from so far away.
Yes, so we actually started 2019, right, before the pandemic. So that was Sara Jimenez was the first one. And then after that was Gabriel Matias, Iván Orellana, Joel Vargas, who's not gone yet, but one for this year, 2024. It's been great. Working with, like she said, young blood, it changes perspective for the whole also festival and the company, because it's not the same thing. It's not a very traditional flamenco. Again, like I said earlier, I'm a very traditional dancer, but they actually seeing these young kids do what they do and do it very well changes your chip a little bit into other other realms of dance and movement. They've set a couple of numbers for the company that have been performed by the artists themselves. So it's tricky because they come and perform also, and the award is either a choreography or a workshop. I have not used any of them for workshops. Mm-hmm. I've used them only for choreographies because they're so talented that I think it should be showcased as opposed to, like, in a way, kind of hide it into a workshop. But the flamencos do want that also, so it's very complicated to marry both right now. But I think in the near future we'll find ways to do both. But it's going well because I have them dancing in my company alongside with me and my choreographies, so they see the differences. And you know, and I also choreograph on them. Company, they get to do my pieces as well, either a beginning or an ending or someone in between. You know, the audience sees the difference in styles and in choreographies, and you know, and it's going really well, and it's very inspiring actually for me and for the audience in DC. They are very open to it. You would think that they wouldn't, and that they would go there expecting, you know, a peineta, flower, polka dot, and a bata de cola. But usually when I actually bring the choreographers to work with us, either to choreograph or to dance in the performance, I give them the concept that I'm working on so that I can actually have a heads up of what they're going to see, and I do communicate with them, and they do a very well job developing the idea. And so when they get to my studio, it's developed, and it just, you know, we just kind of mix it in and it all works together.
The first 5 years, Bobby was the choreographer. I was the grant writer. And Melinda Marquez worked with us for 2 years. And then Liliana Morales came in to work with us for the few years after that. We did all kinds of different programs in the community. And we started the Arts and Education Program, where we go to schools and talk about flamenco and teach students how to do it. It became a very big part of our company. Do I think our company has helped to advance the art form of flamenco? My answer is yes. We're 42 years old, given opportunities to a lot of choreographers to choreograph, to a lot of dancers to come to New York and work with the company. We have a national outreach. Programs that we do, arts and education, community, touring, international travel, etc., have helped raise the understanding of flamenco and the art form as an important art form.
Now all these dances, especially I can talk about the local dancers, contemporary dancers, they are very interested in learning about flamenco. What is the attraction of flamenco? What can they gain by learning their form?
I do have a loyal following for the actual festival, not just my show. So, and creating new audience is not that difficult because we try to do school performances, and so the kids go and tell the parents, and the parents, you know, then they get interested. We do a lot of showcasing also. By that I mean like little local festivals, and the theater itself does a very good job in promoting, and we're part of their season. So we're in the brochure as part of their plays.
I'm not sure how our connection with the certamen began, unless it started 40 years ago with my friendship with Margaret in Madrid. I think our first prizes to the winners of the Madrid certamen was in 2013, and we have done that every year after that. It's not necessarily the first winner of the Madrid certamen. It's someone that we feel that would be very good to work with our company and to come to New York. One of the best things that happened with our cooperation with the Madrid certamen is giving the prize to Emilio Ochando in 2016. Emilio came to New York. He did a choreography, and he began working with the company on tour. And finally, he has now become our associate artistic director, in charge of the touring company, in charge of our Evolución, which is our artist development series, and has been my right-hand man now since then.
I have long personal friendship with Carlota and Rosario. Edwin is a newer friend, but I'll talk about him also and our very old connections as well. But both Carlota and Rosario and I, we're very good friends when we were dancers studying in Amor de Dios here in Madrid back in the 80s when we were in our 20s. Rosario, at the time, became engaged, started going out with Victor Kolsti, who was a Dutch-Canadian flamenco guitarist who was also studying and improving his flamenco guitar here in Madrid at the same time. And we all formed kind of a group of international students of flamenco, and we all hung out together in the various bars. We would sometimes do little gigs together, and our friendship has persisted throughout all these decades. And has now flowered into this really wonderful collaboration that we have with the certamen that has given so many opportunities to Spanish dancers and choreographers. Edwin, I have met more recently, but Edwin and my brother Henry, who is a flamenco guitarist, amateur, but nonetheless a good guitarist, they worked together many times in Washington, Henry playing the guitar for Edwin's concerts. Also, the Gala Theater, where Edwin holds his festival, I performed there with a group, dance theater group, in 1999. Estado Hormonal with Denise Perdiquidis, Elisa Morris, and Teresa Nieto. The music was by my friend José Luis Greco. And we actually had a big hit there. We performed for 4 days in the Gala Theater. Very funny dance theater piece. Also, the Gala Theater is close to my heart because my father was on the board of director way back also in probably the 70s, 80s, 90s, somewhere around there. So it's very close to my heart. And also Washington, D.C. is where I kind of grew up. Carlota and I also coincided in those early, crazy, passionate, very interesting days in Amor de Dios in the 80s. We became good friends, and we took class together with Tito, Maria Magdalena, Paco Fernandez. Carlota was braver than I was because she worked at a tablao here in Madrid, in Arco de los Cuchilleros. She was very good. And then after that, she went to Sevilla and studied with Sevillano masters and perhaps performed there as well, I'm not sure. And then she went back to New York and formed a company with Bobby Larca, which is the seed of the company she has today that she just talked about. But anyhow, they're all good friends. And the reason why we have this wonderful collaboration, which has given so many opportunities to Spanish dancers and choreographers, is thanks to this personal connection that goes way back. And it's very close to my heart.
All the musical excerpts heard on this podcast are from the different shows of the artists interviewed.